Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Hello, Goyles. We're back here in the basement. The hags are back.
Yep.
It's back to the fashion next time in the basement.
We're trying to stay consistent in our
content. We're starting every new podcast with a song on the fly. No, we're not.
It's that time of year in Vancouver where you just really don't want to leave your fucking house.
Yep. No, are you crazy? It's not pouring rain.
It's true.
Every time I don't leave the house, this last weekend was so nice. I'm like, I gotta get out of here. This could be the very last hour.
Yeah, every weekend we're like, it's our last chance. We gotta get out. Gotta go to the park now.
It's gonna start raining for 6 months. At any moment.
It could be happening as we speak.
By the time we leave the house today. Mm-hmm. Could be it.
Yes, the tides can change. Absolutely.
Anyway, you guys, episode 72. Last week was our catch up Hagiversary
sessions.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun one. But we're back. What's going on? Abs, what's new with you?
What was I going to talk about? I was going to talk about shit. I told you I had something.
I was going to talk about, and we can all talk about this, because we had a Fashion Hags.
Oh, yes.
Moment, time, event, wave.
Extracurricular activity.
Yeah, which is doesn't happen very often anymore these days.
No.
The Hags hit the scene.
We went out.
Put makeup on and everything. All of us did.
We even had a cheeky beverage beforehand.
Mm. We did. We went to...
I screwed up the time. I thought it started.
Oops. No, it was perfect.
It worked out really nicely.
Hero... Erin Gibson, author of Feminasty and hilarious podcast host, of Throwing Shade, which we've talked about many times.
Yes.
Listen to it. She had her book launch here
She came to town.
And so we all went, obviously, and we got our book signed and we hung out and we regendered all the leaders of the world.
Yeah.
And we got rid of the dudes and put some females in power, and
yes,
it was a super fun event.
She read, you know, a little PowerPoint on shitty women.
Yeah.
It's great.
It was good.
She couldn't swear, which was fantastic.
It was so nice to know that there's like other people out there in the world who are just as furious.
Yeah. Just constantly fuming underneath the surface. Just constantly in a state of just mild to moderate rage.
But also like, can have a
but
lot.
Still holding it together,
yeah,
and
yeah,
still trying to be a good person and enjoy life. It's a delicate balance.
It was hilarious. She had to, I guess it was at the Chapters Indigo location.
Yeah,
here.
It's like a big Barnes and Noble style, yeah, big corporate fancy bookstore.
So there were certain words she was not allowed to say, which was actually hilarious. She did a really good thing with it. It was really funny. She changed the B word, which we all know. It's a bitch if you don't know. Mm-hmm. She turned it into bagel, but then it also morphed into beagle at some point.
Yeah, because there's a typo in PowerPoint, so it was beagle, which also worked. That's
which was also good. And then the C word, what did she change?
It was clam,
yeah, which was great. And then there was a couple of times that just made me laugh so hard. She just nailed it. But there's a few times where she just like leaned the microphone away. It was like, everybody lean in to say all the dirty jokes and all the things that you can't actually
project into a microphone, into a shared space. Yes.
Into the American Girl doll section that's upstairs. Freak out all those
huge kids section upstairs.
Yeah. Anyway, Erin Gibson, thank you so much for coming and for signing our book and for the team picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You'll have already seen it on our Instagram.
On Instagram, absolutely.
She's the best.
The best. Indeed. So that was good times.
And we did a thing together, which was like out of a podcast studio, which does not happen very often.
No. Yes, it's true.
I wonder what everyone thinks our lives are like outside of the podcast, like as a unit. Do they envision us like going to Holt Renfrew and like having lunch at Nordstrom and doing all that stuff? And it's like, no, bitch, We're career women.
Yes. And we barely see each other.
Yeah. I barely leave my studio/house.
Yes. This podcast was a point to make us see each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then also make a podcast. But it was just an excuse to hang out and see each other. So.
And talk about a bunch of dumb shit that we love.
Dumb stuff.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's true.
I can take away to my swatching that Evan noticed on my hand today. Talk about dumb stuff.
Dude.
And as I picked the foundation out of my beard that I know is there that I forgot to wipe out.
There you go. I always have to do my eyebrows.
Yeah.
I always have to get a little Q-tip and clear the
a little
foundation
spoolie.
Out of my eyebrows.
I don't know how to do eyebrows. I did eyebrows for the first time. I'm 34 years old. I did eyebrows for the first time for a wedding this summer. And I was like, oh, I see why people do this. Not me.
Yeah,
it's not
sure.
It's do.
Like that's something I'm going to commit to doing.
I'm not going to buy a thing just for eyebrows.
Yeah. What am I going to invest $27 on an eyebrow pencil?
No. I've got tweezers. No. That's fine.
Yeah, we're good.
My limit is $20
per item.
Yeah. Per item, except for foundation.
Because you can afford to go up a little bit.
Because
it's over your whole face.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it's shitty,
it'll show. Go. Yeah, your face will look like it's cracking.
But if you're unfamiliar with Sephora. First of all, what the fuck?
Probably in Europe.
No, there's Sephora in Europe.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, if you are part of their like beauty insider where you get a little card and you tap your points and you redeem your points for little samples and stuff, which is great. I do it all the time.
What the fuck are the kids doing upstairs? The kids are having a dance party.
I think somebody's wearing boots upstairs and stomping around on
maybe
the tile.
Maybe Steve.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, if you're a member of their VIP beauty... The month of your birthday, you get a little gift. And it's great. It's great. Every year, there's usually two or three choices of brands they put, and it's just a little tester of lipstick and eyeliner or whatever. It's by brand, too. So I got some Glam Glow mask and moisturizer set today.
Do they mail it to you?
You can order it through the website. I don't know if they will just send it to you on its own. I think you probably have to order something else.
I was
going to
say through the catalog.
Through the Sears catalog.
Yeah. You got to fill out the little
card.
Slip. Yeah. Mail the slip in.
Mail in your slip. Don't forget to include your address.
Yeah, that's funny.
But I needed an eyeliner anyway. So I was like, oh, and we work super close to it. So I was like, I told our coworker who's super into makeup that I was going to go. And then I was worried that I was going to get the Glam Glow one and then be like, oh my God, this is awesome. And then go get the masks, and they're literally $75 for like a tube. It's like you get multiple uses out of it, but it is $75.
That's too
like
much.
No. Can I get the $9 one?
Yeah,
it's at the
single
front.
Single use
one. I'll get that one or not the $2.99 ones from the pharmacy.
Yeah,
those ones are all right. The life
the
brand
99
ones.
Cent sheet masks.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, that's the one. But anyway, the free one. I'll try the free shit.
Use the derma roller just to feel real fancy with your 99 cent sheet mask.
Yeah.
I love that. Is the derma roller? Does it actually do a thing, or just make you feel like it does a thing?
It's supposed to like improve circulation and like
they
open up your pores and stuff like that.
And you
that.
Have to do it in a pattern, and you roll up. You never
always roll.
But is this
always
a thing that we're being
up.
Fed? Is up this some out. Bullshit, or is it? Is it for real?
There's you can get ones that have like micro needles on it that are supposed to put like micro wounds.
I would believe that something
and it's
like
to a micro scarring.
I think a micro roller is probably actually better than
just
90% of face creams.
Like, just like a jade roller.
I think because it's like actually touching your skin. It's technical. It's mechanical.
Yeah.
Actually, like flushing things out and getting your circulation going and stuff, as opposed to just a cream you put on before bed and then it's supposed like in 2 weeks you're supposed to look younger.
No.
But this like works the muscles and like the actual physical attributes of your face and not just snail jizz or something.
Snail jizz. I did snail jizz weird mask last week. I was like, I forget what I was doing. I was like, well, I got 15 minutes
or whatever.
Thing.
There you go. Slap this on.
I thought it was just like a weird goo, but it's a weird goo that you can actually feel. Like you can, it feels like tingly. And I was like,
I'm all over those weird masks. You can try the ones that you put on and then they bubble. Those ones are fucking weird.
My favorite is the snake venom ones.
I haven't tried those.
Snake venom?
I want to try the little eye patches too.
I like
the
those.
Eye patches. There's like some fancy. What was the one that all people in Hollywood do?
Not. The ones where you put them in the freezer.
Yeah, and they're like gold.
Yeah,
it's like a dude with three names.
Mario Badescu.
No, there's another one anyway.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's it.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes, that's the one. Who's Dexter? I think it's him.
Robert Louis Stevenson.
That's the one. But anyway, I was looking for, I use a nude eyeshadow palette. There's three different sets of colors, so I'm really branching out.
So like, it's invisible? Is that what you're saying? It's a nude.
Pretty much. It's like pinks and dark and browns, but I mostly just use the pink. There's a glittery pink and a non-glittery
pink. It's mink, rose, alabaster.
It's called like the nude palette. It's a two-faced one, which is the brand, and it's a nude palette because I'm not adventurous.
Even also, you're white. That should be noted.
Yes. And also, but also I've been told that brown-eyed girls can wear all the colors. It's the blue and green-eyed girls that have the limitations.
Oh, thank God. I thought it was me. It's my eyes.
And your blue eyes this whole time. Holding you back.
What a relief. Now I can go about my life.
There you go. So anyway, apparently brown-eyed girls can do a lot more with their eye colors than other eye-colored girls. Whatever. So I was looking for, apparently, I don't know. And also, like, I love Sephora and I spend a lot of money there. I have never gotten one second of help from anybody who works there.
No.
Really?
Everyone
literally,
there.
I thought never. They're like oppressive with help there.
They're omnipresent.
Yeah.
But they will they're not
cleaning.
Help you.
They're always cleaning.
Or they're always helping. I'm like, how are you helping someone else? I've literally been in this store 100 times in the past, I don't know, 10 years or something.
Yeah.
Never once has anyone helped me. The people at the till are always super nice.
Hmm.
But anyway, so I was trying to find
I thought it was the opposite. I thought it was like you had to fight your way through. Away. Yeah.
No, they're all busy.
And it's like when you're swatching like an $80 foundation from Dior, you'd think someone might want to come and help you.
To get that money out of your wallet. And recommend the concealer and the yada, 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 yada. Else you got to go primer. With it, right? To make sure you're doing it right.
Yeah. Because
you got to do it right.
The powder and then and the right brush and that whole situation.
Sure. Like, and you got to get the
natural versus synthetic. And what's the finish that you want?
Yes. Anyway, so I was looking for an eyeliner. Apparently, I was looking for a gold eyeliner, but I wanted a gold liquid eyeliner or a pen eyeliner.
I'm afraid of liquid eyeliner.
No, they didn't have any. Maybe I got to look online. Because, like I said, we were talking before we started personal recording. I'm watching Pat McGrath. This might be obsession for another time. And she has the best makeup videos on her Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's the best. And it's the coolest shit. And it looks amazing. I found a Marc Jacobs one. And it'll do for now. But it's a pencil. And I wanted, like, a pen. Like, a marker.
I can't do...
Because I wanted a clean, very high shimmer. But the Marc Jacobs is pretty good, this gold one.
I can only do, like the pencil, like the Kohl pencil eyeliner, because it just irritates my eyes.
Sure.
Too much. And then
just watering all the time.
Like years ago, I discovered this and I was like, oh, this is another reason I don't care for makeup.
Yeah, this is another point against you.
I never got a chance to learn how to do it properly because my eyes are just like, no,
sure, or
we're
to
done.
Find a brand where that doesn't happen. But you probably have to try 6-7 different ones. Or
and they're
knows,
probably
right?
all.
And they're like $12 to $30 each. I'm like, yeah,
good.
No,
yeah,
I'm not.
Clinique would probably be a good brand for you.
Yeah,
I have a good pencil that is the go-to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like I wear makeup. I wear makeup maybe 6 times a year.
Sure.
Truly. And it's the same thing I do every time. It's the same thing I do when I got married.
Sometimes
the same thing I do when I go to date.
Sometimes I put a liquid liner on, and sometimes I blend a pencil liner on. And that's it.
Yeah.
You had a cut crease for Aaron's moment.
I was trying.
Did a little cut crease.
I'm trying.
Yeah, bitch. Don't tell yourself
short. I got better brushes. I need different colors of, like I said, all of my eyeshadows are like flesh toned, which match my alabaster ghost skin. But anyway, that's what I did today. Got my birthday party gift and I got a gold eyeliner.
Mm-hmm. Fancy. Oh yeah, happy birthday. We should say happy birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday. She's 800 years old, but she only looks like she's like maybe mid-30s.
Margo said I was 20, so.
Oh, that's old for
I'll
a
take
kid.
It. Yeah. He was like, I don't know, 20? I was like,
sounds
good.
How much is a banana, good. Michael? $5?
Yeah.
Or is it $10?
$10.
It's $10.
So, yeah, I'm very low-key about my birthday, but it was nice.
Mm.
It's nice to get things that you can be like, goodbye, I'm going to do my thing for my birthday.
Yeah.
By myself. See you later.
Smell you later.
Yeah. That's always good.
Yeah, I listened to a very depressing episode of Serial as I walked around Winners.
I can't get into the new season.
Me neither. I can't. I tried.
Yeah, I've listened to them all.
I think I need one story to pull me through. I need to like get attached to a character.
You should listen to Stranglers. It's very good.
Should I?
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's good. Anyway, Evan, what's going on with you?
We can talk about you and me into Evan.
I finished my business program.
Yay! Congratulations!
Yeah. I finished the classroom element of it. So the rest of it is basically field work. That's what it's written as in the program. Oh, so I need to actually
go do shit.
I actually have to go out and follow through on my year one plan for running my business, which is going to be a hell of a year.
Oh, just that part.
You know?
Just that.
It was one thing writing it. And now it's another thing entirely to have to do it.
To make it happen.
To be beholden to an institution like a school.
You told them you were going to do something and then you got
to
So I'm going to be like the rest
of the year, I'm going to be going into meetings with my program advisor and he's going to be like, so where are you in your cash projections?
Right.
Where are you in your market rollout, your marketing rollout? Have you done all the marketing activity that you wanted to do within this amount of time?
Right.
If so, have you had a return on investment? You know, it's just like, let me just hold on real fucking quick here.
Yeah.
Just strap myself in. It's really exciting. I never thought I'd go to business school. I was never that kind of academic. I was always much more interested in literature and social studies and could give two shits about math or law
or commerce.
All that bullshit.
Until it's your own shit.
Exactly. So you realize, you know what? There's math in everything.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, they weren't lying when they told me that in grade 10.
Yeah. But it was more like a different way of thinking about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good episode to bring this up because this episode is going to be a quick little recap show on my most recent fashion show.
Yeah.
That I presented a few weeks back.
Tell us what it's called because every time I saw it written, I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It's Hiraeth.
Hiraeth. Okay, yeah. I was close with...
Depending on who you ask from Wales.
I was going to say, it's not English.
It's Welsh.
It's Welsh. Yeah. What does it mean?
And it means it's this sense of longing that you have for your home, for your homelands.
I see.
Mm.
So why did you choose a Welsh word? Just because it sounded
cool?
Of
the meaning?
Because it came to me. And it encapsulated that sense that I was feeling when I was making this collection. I think like moving forward, I really want to be true to my own experience as an Indigenous person in Canada and not attach myself to things or narratives or things that have nothing to do with my experience, because everyone, and this includes everyone in Canada, or what is known as Canada, everyone experiences colonialism differently and learns about it differently. And
from nothing at all to systematic oppression they feel every day.
Yeah, but also
everything in between.
But also like colonial violence doesn't just extend to Indigenous people. Of course it does, and it has a lot to do with our history, but colonialism has affected people who've been brought here unwillingly, people who've had to come to Canada to escape persecution in their own country and escape violence and escape poverty and it's my understanding of colonial violence has kind of expanded, and that includes women, of course. Like colonialism is a patriarchal system by nature. So a lot of the iniquities that women face in Canada and US have a lot to do with the settler colonial way of life and how women were like stripped of power
denied rights
just so that the institutions that have become known as Canada and the United States could exist. And the
and
oppression,
be quote, successful.
Oppression in general is... You need to look at how it relates to one another and how it differs, but it's all interconnected, and comparing, there's really nothing to be gained by comparing people's oppression. You need to see how they fit together and how they work together to hold each other up. And that is kind of what I'm aiming to do with my work. And a part of that is staying true to my own experience and telling people how it's been for me and my family and people I'm connected to within this framework.
So tell us, with all of that in mind, how do you get from that to putting a dress on the runway? Trick question. How does it work?
A lot. Where, see, like, I mean, you guys can attest to this because you've worked with me since, well, you know, like, since I've become a professional quote-unquote designer. Like, when I met you guys, I was not a professional
designer.
Let's
get with his quotes. Jeez.
What?
Quote.
Quote professional.
You don't have a day job. You are paid to do this. People seek you out specifically because they know you, dude, you're a professional.
There is.
Don't sell yourself there is short,
a, there
my
is,
friend.
There is a
that
very.
That imposter yeah, thing.
Imposter
is
syndrome is fucking real.
Real.
Yeah, especially when you're
but
native.
You don't have a day job and you keep yourself alive with the money you get from this. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just straight up dictionary.
Thank you, Mama.
Yeah, dictionary time. That's what that is. That's what that means.
That would be the proverbial. Slap down the not on my watch.
I'm slapping down, but then I'm gonna push it back up again.
It's the you guys can attest to this. Like, a lot of my process doesn't actually happen in the sketching, in the cutting, and the draping and the making of the clothes.
It's much more intellectual.
It's much more in the process and in the research and sitting in the ideas and really. Part of the reason why I wanted to quit fashion in general is because I felt like I wasn't allowed to say what I wanted to say in my work and still be commercially viable and be successful in the industry.
And the whole professional part, where you get the money in exchange for things.
Exactly. Yeah. That I like, no one would be interested in buying my clothes if I was saying what I wanted to say with my work. And now people are buying my clothes because of what I'm saying. So now I feel like I have an obligation to think really critically about what I'm going to say with my work.
I feel like that's a pretty common thing for artists who are
serious
and becoming committed, serious and, about it and turning it from like a thing I like to do and a thing that I am passionate about into a, for lack of a better turn of phrase, a way of life. Like this is how you spend your time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a common thing. But I also think that it's not particularly well understood how. This is why I asked this question. Yeah. Like, I can just hear my dad listening at home. Hi, Chris. Hi, Mr. Garnham.
Hi, Katie's dad.
Hi, Katie.
He sent me an amazing birthday card. I love it.
We all had a good.
Chris, I shared it with these two because I knew that they would love it.
It was so
I loved
cute.
It so much.
It was so cute. My dad doesn't even know how to turn on a computer, so it's just
Hey, I got a paper card in the mail from my dad too. It had.
Oh yeah,
that was good. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
It was good.
But anyway, I can hear the questions my dad is thinking in his head. And it was like, how do you get from this, you know, description of what all your thoughts are to putting a dress together?
Sometimes
right?
The word lends itself to the collection. And sometimes we need to find the word to fit what we're saying. Because this is a whole thing that I just like to do with my company. I heard it. I don't know. I heard in an interview somewhere that someone said that a good collection should be able to be described in one word. And I like that idea.
Yeah. There you go.
Because
well,
a lot
of the word that you chose is definitely
spot on.
Yeah.
And
but I don't mean that specifically. I mean like all of these thoughts and feelings about indigeneity
and complex and parts of
colonialism. Yeah. It's like, okay, that's cool. You can see that you're passionate about those things, but how does that turn into a dress that you put on the runway that other people can see and appreciate and understand your vision and your messaging? Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole bread and butter, the whole bones of it.
Like,
I'm going to just put you on the spot.
No, but like the thing that was that I really looked at the outset of designing this collection and thinking about it and thinking about the mood and what it would look like. When I first started to mention my family and my people in my work, I felt like it would be disrespectful to continue on in this like overtly sexual kind of. Message and visual branding that I've done before.
That you've pursued in the past.
Yeah, because you can look at the collection I did before Origin and it was very sexually driven, very sheer. That was when we did the jock straps for the first time. Thigh-high slits, everything was super body-con and very fashion and like little like slivers of silk on like naked bodies. Like it was very sexually driven. And then when I jump into the next season, when I'm discussing
shifting your focus violence a bit,
it just wasn't appropriate. Like mm-hmm. everything needed to be very covered up, and it was. There mm-hmm. was like yeah. there was no cleavage. There was nothing. There was like
at a the, lot of fabric.
There was a lot. Everything was like very voluminous, and everything was layered and covered up. And that's like that was also what I was feeling.
Yeah.
In my own life, I wanted to be very like closed off, and like it was like an armor that I was putting on, and I was dressing people for having to survive.
This coming from a guy who enjoys nude selfies.
Yeah. But we're going to get to that.
You're a very complex person, my friend.
We're going to come full circle, I'm sure.
But like you said, if you want to represent your heritage and stuff, that might not, that
and
doesn't.
And then
that's not
going to
work.
And then as I kept going on and I started to become more involved in my community through dancing, and then of course through fashion when I went to Toronto, and when I got involved with Indigenous Fashion Week Vancouver, I saw that I could still honor the ancestors in that way, in that way of giving them reverence and referencing them, but I could still create work that is going to feed and fill the people who are here, who are still alive and working
right now. Yeah.
And a lot of that is especially,
and also to outsiders who want to buy it mm-hmm. because it's good and well designed mm-hmm. and beautiful. You gotta check a lot of boxes.
Exactly. And then I wanted to create work for this group of indigiqueers and queer indigenous people and QT BIPOC folk, the queer, trans, black and indigenous people of color that made reference to all, like the way that I like to dress when I go out, and marrying all those kinds of worlds, basically marrying all of these pieces that I've done throughout my years before speaking about my indigeneity within my work, and bringing it in all together, because I am all of these things. I'm not...
Yes.
I'm a child of colonialism. I'm a child of the modern world. I'm a child of the digital age. I'm a child of this sexual revolution. You know, it's just like, I think maybe like
it, you exist, yeah, so I exist, this can exist.
So this, who else would be doing that right now? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody. Because that's you.
And that's what I need to be doing. I need to be doing the things that nobody else can do.
Yes, because they're you.
Yeah. And
stop trying to be someone else.
Exactly. It's funny.
That person's taken.
Exactly. That whole trope.
You. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it on a mug upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, it's the kind of thing that you just have to, you can read it 800 times on a mug upstairs, but until you
actually have to,
until you can really live it and apply it to yourself and see it in a way that comes along at the right time and, you know, is able to be applied in the ways that you see it mm-hmm. working.
And to be inspired.
Yeah,
apply it.
Then, yeah, then
inspiring.
It doesn't apply to you until you're ready for it to apply to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're there.
We should mention as well that the show was not just a show of yours. It was a showcase of mm-hmm. a few other mm-hmm. Indigiqueer local designers.
For not POC queers.
Yes,
very much part of the
queer
community.
They're the queer part, but not the...
Yeah, but okay. They were all white, except for me.
I see, okay. POCs.
Yeah. Yes, but it was a great event. Like, these kids really fucking hit the ground running, and I know what it is like to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do something like...
And these kids
guerrilla
are, like,
style.
8 years younger than you.
Oh, yeah.
They're young. Yeah. You were little. Mm-hmm. And they pulled off an amazingly professional, mm-hmm. well-done show.
Hats off to Ashley Saeed, our first guest.
She mm-hmm. fucking nailed
Ashley
it.
Ashley produced the fuck out of that shit.
Yeah. It was so well done.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was a great atmosphere all day, like a great sense of community. There was a great representation of ethnicities on
body
the runway,
types and
yes,
gender identities, and
it was wonderful. It was
and in the audience too, which mm-hmm. was nice. I mean, to see them as an outsider of all of these things,
yeah,
as mm-hmm. a cishet white woman mm-hmm. standing up, it was really nice to just be in that space. Mm-hmm. And for me, I can't even imagine what it felt like.
Yeah,
for them, mm-hmm. right, to be in mm-hmm. such an awesomely positive.
Well, a lot of them, it was the first time they've done a show outside of like a
school
governing body
or whatever,
like a school or a fashion week.
Sure,
you know, and we had a lot of agency over what we wanted on the runway, what the style was going to be like, like all of the hair and makeup, everything like that. Yeah.
So you could be hella weird and not have to explain it to someone. You could just go for it.
Yeah.
That's rad. Some weird shit going on.
It was a really good experience, and everyone did such a great job, and all the clothes were so good, and everyone had their own points of view, and I think that is so necessary, like in such a small industry like Vancouver, that we get these opportunities to hold and create a space where it's all locally grown talent. And it's not at that, like the regular fashion weeks where we're competing with brands from outside of the city.
Sure.
For exposure. Of various sizes. For whatever. And
yeah.
Yeah. And we're all kind of like on a level playing field. Like we're all, I don't know. I definitely felt like I was grandmothering everybody, and I was auntieing, and I was helping out, and I was just like giving like words of wisdom and like telling people to calm little down.
Pointers.
And, like,
you know,
all that stuff. Like,
yeah. And eat something. Stop crying.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a very different experience in that sense, because mostly it's been people telling me to calm down, and me telling me what to do, and telling me to eat.
Yeah.
And then I was just chilling and just walking around.
You were so
around.
Relaxed backstage.
Yeah. And y'all have seen me in some.
I was going to say, there's nothing of an
high stress
moment.
Yeah. So it was really fun. All of the clothes were done at midnight the day before the show.
Oh, really?
I got a full 8 hours of sleep. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Good for you. That does not.
That's not common. Yeah. No.
So how many looks did you have?
11.
11. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And you had boys and girls and femmes and ladies and dames and whatever.
And the whole situation, the whole spectrum.
That's so great.
Yeah.
We've seen
what's your favorite people who come again and again and again, and some new people.
Some perennials and some new beauties.
Yeah.
Some new energies.
Yeah. That was great.
Did you have a standout piece for you? Like your little
the finale dress that Jay Simpson wore.
Well, tell us about it. I don't know. I wasn't at the show. No,
fill her in. Tell me.
Another thing that I really wanted to do this season is start to put people on the runway and in the advertising that reflect the people who buy my clothes
and who exist in the world.
What?
You know,
that's a novel idea.
Because my clients and customers, whether it be stuff that they buy online or stuff that they get custom made in the studio, they're all different body types, all different gender identities,
sure,
different
ages,
aesthetics, yeah, and ages and nationalities and whole situations where they fit it's a beautiful spectrum,
mm-hmm,
you know? And I was just looking back on my history and my like visual, like basically if you Google me, the only people you see wearing my clothes are thin bodies. Thin European, like European standards of beauty, basically. Yeah. I'm upholding these certain ideas of beauty that.
With the fashion industry.
That I've been ingrained with.
Quote, requires of you to be successful.
Well,
how dare you use an old person or a dark skinned person
or someone over the size, you know, six.
Anyway.
Yeah. But I realized I had a lot of baggage that I needed to sort out from being educated in the Western Fashion Academy and
being obsessed with it your whole life
and absorbing high fashion.
Like just pure repetition, right? Of just all these visuals. Mm-hmm. It's hard to shake.
Just in the same way people need to shake the way they think about somebody because of the color of their skin or because of
town they're from.
Yeah, exactly.
What
language
they speak. Yeah, their last name or whatever, right? Yeah.
It's like you need to shake the shackles of
it's bullshit.
Of bigotry.
It's bullshit.
Like we all have work to do. Like I think like because I make such grandiose statements that some people might think are grandiose, that I really do need to admit when I'm wrong. And put it into work.
Yeah.
You know?
And acknowledge it.
Because like I can and do create work and clothing for all bodies.
Sure.
And you can't tell that because my clients are private and they don't share photos. I don't see photos of my clients in their garments sometimes. They just send an email being like, thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. And that's that. You know, it's like not everybody wants to be put on the Instagram.
Yeah.
you know, and that's like,
yeah,
and
you, hands
and you,
up.
And you buy, yeah, yeah, you buy the, like with,
but
with,
that doesn't mean, yeah,
with your money, the, with your money, you buy the right to say yes or no to wanting to be posted on,
yes,
online.
Well, just look at all the people, to bring it back to the fashion industry in general, just look at all the people who are haute couture patrons. Mm-hmm. You don't know who these people are.
No.
Because they're interested sure in the clothes.
Not a and size you're, six.
And you yeah. will never know lots yeah. of the time.
Because like, that's it's what normal people, regular people do.
Yeah. Especially when you have a lot of money. Yeah. You'd rather be quiet yeah. about it.
And I'm sure these people are seeking you out for, you
and know. Not everybody wants their wedding photos online.
Yeah.
You know?
Not everybody wants wedding photos.
Yeah.
Period.
We just talked about this the other day.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, but I so think a really good opportunity for that yeah. is just to be more inclusive on the runway and inclusive in advertising and inclusive in
social media.
In social
whatever.
Media in general.
Yeah, and just your general branding imagery yeah. and stuff like that. Yeah.
And I think part of it too is just talking about it as though it's not this crazy wild thing. It's like, no, yeah. no, no, we yeah, all need to get better.
Or something.
Yeah. yeah, this isn't like a way
a hashtag
to be new.
To be, yeah. to be found on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Like inclusivity is not a hashtag you should be building a brand on. Uh-huh. It should be...
Just
the,
do it.
It should yeah. just be like a fucking part of it. It should just yeah. be the standard. It obviously is not, and we have a million miles to go. Mm-hmm. But including somewhere. That in your... In the very base of what
the foundation.
You do,
yeah,
very
yeah. foundation. Your function on yeah. every level, then, hey man.
Then it becomes easier and easier and easier to have those conversations, and it becomes either easier for other people to see that, oh yeah, well he's doing it, that's no big deal, and like, oh shit, I didn't realize that I wasn't.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think the only way to change the tide really is to create like a new expectation, a new standard,
yeah, yeah.
of decency within
new
the
normal.
Fashion industry. You know,
like this is what a person looks like.
Yeah. Like
this person is just as valid and important and interesting as
yeah.
the blonde model.
Yeah.
As Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We should do a whole episode on that. Just
that
fucking
whole
rage the whole time.
Yeah.
That might get too angry. It might get too heated in
yeah,
here.
I don't know if the microphones might just blow.
More heated than me talking about settler colonialism.
No, you're pretty well versed in how to talk about that diplomatically.
The rage, I guess.
Yeah. But we can just be mad.
Yeah,
just get mad.
We got that whole woman side of that particular argument
yeah.
of Victoria's Secret yeah. and just being a woman around that shit our whole lives
forever.
Yeah, I've never had to shop for a bra. I don't know what that yeah. distance is like.
We all have our own struggles.
Yeah.
We should have something we could be wildly infuriated about.
This is a bit of a sidebar. I was out.
Sidebar? No, never.
You guys.
That's so unlike us.
I know. Stop the presses. We were out for drinks with some friends. This was like maybe a year ago. But we were. Oh, it was a friend who was getting married. That's right. And she was talking about the bride to be was talking about like getting a dress or like whatever, the usual bullshit. And her.
Oh, it's a hoop she got to jump through.
Yeah.
Shit.
And, you know, losing weight and being in, you know, good shape and blah, blah, blah. And her soon-to-be husband was like, he's like, why does everyone think that, like, that, you know, women, that men want women to be super skinny and, like, slim? And like, why does everyone think that?
Where why is that this fucking perpetuating? Yeah.
And I was like, literally every direction for girls since they were 5 or 6 years old, literally everywhere at all times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's where
from
it comes
every
from.
Every angle, from everything your eye lands on, to everything your ear touches, to everything you read or sit next to or...
And it, yes. the way that he phrased it was like that, you know, that's what men want. And it's
sure.
like, well, it's not... I mean, you've been a little self-absorbed because mm-hmm. it's not just about what men want, but it touches on
the exact
truth.
Has nothing to do with you, Bob.
Yeah. It touches on the exact truth of like this whole patriarchal bullshit of the male gaze and you know, all of this perpetuating this beauty standards yes. that have nothing to do with men and yet they control the entire equation.
Yeah.
It just like, I was like, oh, I can't actually have this
There's
conversation with you right
time.
Now. There's, mm-hmm. We're having
Energy
a nice time.
Right now.
I
to ruin this night of fun we're having.
Yeah.
I'm humbly going to disassociate for 10 minutes.
You know what?
Yeah.
Order me a glass of wine. I'll be right back.
Yeah. yeah. Or get me a double gin and I'll
and
meet
we'll
at the end
down.
Of the bar and we will hash this out.
Yeah.
You're a stronger woman
than I. I'll send you some links.
I.
Yeah, I'll send you some articles.
And he didn't yeah. mean it in like an...
Sure.
In
yeah.
like, he just
yeah,
was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
why is this like this? He was as like curious and frustrated as the rest of us, but it came from a place of complete ignorance, which it so often does. But I was like, oh, no, literally everywhere, all directions at all time, our entire lives. So want to hash this puppy out?
Yeah. Now that you know that, do you want to know more?
You know what? Let's not. You know, just have a great wedding. Have fun.
Yeah.
That's why your girlfriend is skinny. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Because of that. It's not because of you.
Because it has nothing to do with you and has everything to do with you. Yes. All at once.
Yep.
Try and fucking wrap your head around that.
Yeah. White boy.
this gives me the feeling of when people are just like, oh, like I watched this documentary on residential schools. It made me so sad and so ashamed. And it's just like, I'm not going to help you absolve your guilt.
I'm not going to help you. I'm not just a therapist to help you work through these emotions that all of a sudden.
I don't want to talk about
it. Yeah. Because it's a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we're at a dinner party, Barbara.
Yeah, it's enough time or place.
Get the bottle of wine and shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Don't talk to me. Talk to your other white friends, you dummy.
Don't talk to me. Buy Native writers.
Yeah. Support Native.
There's ample opportunity for you to pursue your own education for this that doesn't involve
maybe
me.
Go to a protest sometime.
Google is free.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to add about your show? Abby, you were a spectator. Tell us.
How was the...
Well, I got out of my car and then I saw a bunch of weirdos smoking cigarettes in an alley and I was like, that's where I need
to be. Must be the place.
Well, that's where I need to be. So yeah, I went in and I got roped into working right away.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Came down to the backstage.
Came down. Helped tie some people into some dresses.
Mm-hmm. There's a gorgeous photo of Abby lacing somebody into a corset.
Yes, it's my arms.
Yeah.
My hands.
Yeah, blurry hands because she's probably mid-pull. Yeah.
Mid-pull.
Yeah.
A dress fit her quite nicely. Well, that's one of the benefits of a dress to get laced into. It can be any size and any body type you need it to be because it's all, it had lacing up the side and up the back. So anybody can wear it.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how much time you have.
Yeah. How tight and what you want the lacing to
and
look like.
You need someone to help you get into it.
Yes, you're not getting yourself into that dress. Yeah. But it was a good time. Yeah, like you said, there was a great vibe backstage. It was super organized. It was great. I went out and sat and did the live stream for you on the phone, which is great. Willow opened the show in a mesh dress.
Which I loved that one. That was another one that I really loved.
Yeah. And I just liked, it was so, as someone who's followed your career since the very beginning, pretty much, so the very beginning of you coming to Vancouver.
I was going to say, you were there for high school.
You've had many years other than the 8 that I've known you. But it really felt like, I use the word culmination, but like it's not the peak because you will go on from this. I don't mean to mean it as like
that's
the apex of your
downhill
work,
from here.
But it really did feel like an evolution and progression of everything you've ever done before.
That's really all. That's all really all you can ask for.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like, as you say, you each season you do what you can, and then you build and you learn and you explore and whatever.
When you know better, you do better.
Exactly. And I really feel like you accomplished that with this. There's things that I'd seen before done better or in a new, interesting way, or just shifted enough, or like just the perspective twisted a little bit, new things that I'd never seen before, but that still fit in seamlessly with the other things. And like, especially your, was it Origin? I forget, that had like your dad's hunting stuff, which I really liked. But that seemed like, I hate to use the word like rudimentary, like a very basic marrying of those two things, of your personal history and experience in your life, and then your fashion side.
Was it more literal? Is that what you mean?
Yes, it was more literal and more straightforward. Mm-hmm. Like you just made your dad's quilted jacket and you made it really chic. But then the next season for Atavism, you had the wrap, like the big shawl deal.
Right.
That was a takeoff of a quilted jacket.
It's a quilted jacket, but fashion.
And you wrap it around this beautiful gown. But it's still, and then, you know, stuff like that happened, like the big skirt you had for Atavism, that was
all the feathers and things that you didn't get to do because time and money and the universe just working against you. Yeah. But that blue dress that I got to lace up that had the little bits of white fabric that looked like feathers that were
that was a placed. Fun applique.
And it so chic, so high fashion and haute couture, not like high fashion like it's an InStyle magazine. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like couture.
What do you mean? And InStyle's not high fashion?
Oh, it's got Gwyneth on the cover again. What was I going to say? Like I've been obsessed with Alexander McQueen for a long time. And after watching one of his documentaries, the one that was on like M2M, which went through his last few shows, being able to see how he did it, and he does that where there's so much research and brain and him just sitting and ruminating and thinking and adding and subtracting and combining and multiplying and dividing things in his brain before he even sketches anything or sews anything. And that is your process. Like you said, it's very front loaded, your process, right? Yeah. Where the beginning of it is because, very thorough.
Because making samples is expensive.
So you gotta make sure. By the time you get to buying, choosing fabric, buying fabric, cutting it, having a consultation with somebody, because that's the thing too. It's like you don't want to have a consultation with somebody and then have to like redo it.
Yeah.
Also, you don't get paid for that time.
No.
You hemorrhage money when you make a collection.
Yes. And theoretically, you make it back. And that's why things like haute couture, like, yes, you are spending money on the actual hours it took for the foremost experts in the world to make this. But you are also paying for the 5 years that this idea has been being played with in the atelier that you never see. That all of a sudden you'll see
or the
dress
like
and
a
you're like,
Chanel
why
jacket.
Is,
it's
why
like
is this dress $10,000?
You're paying for the heritage, that knowledge that's passed down
on
how to make that.
And they've been
and all the mistakes that have been made and all the samples that have been thrown out.
And all the past versions.
Work.
And they tried to do it 2 seasons ago, but it didn't work because X and Y. And then now
and
they
now
can
they
figure out.
Better.
Which is exactly what you were doing. So good job, my friend.
Thank you, honey.
Where can we see images? Are they somewhere?
There's some backstage images that are being shared right now on the Instagram page, Evan Dushram Studio. I'm going to be shooting a new lookbook for these new pieces, and they'll be available soon on the website.
Yeah, we'll put them up on the old.
Yeah, because y'all got to see this shit, yo.
And we'll put a link to your Instagram. I mean, there's a link on the Instagram on the website.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, fashionxpodcast.com. I don't think I say that enough because it is there and it exists.
In the bumper on every post, there's all of our ads.
Yeah. And then at the top, too, if you go and I think there's a Meet the Hags, I think our information is up there, too. Although I say that now and I think,
wait a minute.
Anyway, I think we're at a pretty good spot here. Are we over time?
No, we're doing great.
Okay, great.
Doing great.
Because I real have to pee.
Gotcha. Now's not the time.
So I'm deciding it's a really good time for me to go do that.
Yes.
So bye. Okay. We'll be right back.
Be right back.
I don't want a big one. We're talking about spoilers.
They were dead the whole time.
Were we recording the whole time?
No, not the whole time.
All of my secrets.
Evan said that we were talking about something. He said, that's going to be my obsession. And then I pressed record.
Okay.
So do you want to start?
Yes.
Can we just do a friendly reminder before we do this?
Yes.
We are coming up on Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Yes.
Just spend your dollars wisely. We are also coming up on Thanksgiving.
Don't feel like you have to, but don't feel like you need to shun the whole thing because it is people's livelihoods.
Yeah, people make money.
Don't give your money to Amazon. Give your money to your local
whatever. Give your money to Amazon. Ugh, just don't do it.
So you can be Black Friday and not be a monster.
Yes, go to your little neighborhood boutiques because they will take your money and they'll be way happier with
and they're forced to do Black Friday shit too now because everybody's doing it.
Also, we've already talked a little bit about this, but it is Thanksgiving and just remember that it is a colonial bullshit holiday.
It's very complicated and people are very ignorant about it.
And so just be cognizant of people's sensitivities towards that kind of thing this time of year.
Thanksgiving
and
is make-believe. Bye.
Yeah. So there's the whole historical context and then there's just the straight up like
family drama that happens a lot of the time.
Yeah,
you also get a lot of people together. Yeah.
Let's give strength to the people who maybe it's not fun to be with your family.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we're having a really hard time because there's shitty uncles in town and they have to fucking sit across the table from
And they're
him.
Shitty racist or homophobic or just shitty or shitty.
Yeah, problematic parents or whatever. Yeah, so we are with you.
Self-care, self-love.
Yes. If you need to lock yourself in a bathroom and just play on your phone for 20 minutes,
do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it.
Anyway, I felt like I had to say that before we... Before I forgot it, and then it's like, damn it, I really wanted to say
that. I had a serious message of love.
I actually
compassion for people.
Know what day it is, and the day that this recording actually is relevant. This never happens.
We always remember after the fact, like, oh shit, we should have
said that. I meant to. Fuck. Anyway.
Good job, Katie.
Yes.
You did. Egg life, self-care.
Yes.
Thanksgiving is nonsense. Go on, Evan. Obsessions.
But enjoy the food.
Thanksgiving. Thanks living.
Yeah. High kick. That's
a Trixie Mattel reference for anyone who's in the know. So I may or may not be a witch.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
All right.
We won't pressure you for an answer right now.
You do you, babe.
So I have always loved a witch narrative, even a problematic witch.
Oh,
so
even the bullshit ones.
Even the bullshit ones.
Even exactly. Bewitched.
Yeah. Practical magic.
I fucking love practical magic.
But all these nonsense.
For the wigs alone.
Yes.
The wig. The wiglets happening in that movie. Even the kids wear wigs.
Oh.
Believe it or not. Yeah. I think the brunette girl might not, but little Evan Rachel Wood definitely is wearing a little unit. wigs and witchcraft on brand.
There you go. Yeah, that's Evan right there.
So I've...
If you ever run into him in the street, just talk about that.
So to jump off Sabrina. Sabrina was last week, right?
A couple weeks
ago. And I talked a little bit about that bullshit that went on down on there.
Yes.
Also, there was some bullshit on American Horror Story.
That's what we talked about last week.
And then now the finale has been happening. And spoiler alert, there's just some bullshit. They bring a black woman back from the dead, and then she murders a black woman, and then this basically Marie Laveau comes back from the dead, and then she murders the new voodoo queen, and then she gets her heart ripped out by the Antichrist, which is a white
blonde dude,
and it's just sometimes you don't want to see that on television. You don't want to see Angela Bassett get her heart ripped out by a white boy.
Can't the black lady just live?
Can she just
End up? Not even on top, just like...
Just survive. Alive. Yeah. Alive.
Can the black people just be alive by the end, please?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Kill all the white girls you want, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's so many.
There's a lot of them. It's a lot to choose from.
Especially in American Horror Story.
Especially in American Horror Story. The dregs of human humanity on this show. Purposefully.
And another witch narrative that me and Katie have been part and parcel to for quite some time is the world of Harry Potter.
Since day one.
Which... Yep.
This pre-exists your friendship with each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah. And now that all of these new movies are coming out, the Fantastic Beasts movies, I just went and saw the most recent one, and there's some fucking bullshit in there too. basically, like, every POC witch or POC magical character in this new Harry Potter universe is like a foil or a plot line. They're not really like a fleshed out character with agency. Like, they're kind of just like, especially the like.
Is there a Bechdel test for people of color? Because there should be.
I think it is included in the Bechdel test.
Okay, so I was gonna say, because although you could just ask, replace woman with person of color and see what passes.
It's all about men. It's about patriarchy. So you'd have to shift the other end.
It would be there'd have to be.
This probably also failed the Bechdel test. Like, J.K. Rowling wrote female characters that really only existed to forward the plot for white guys.
Sure.
You know?
Do they talk to each other? Do they talk to each other about something other than
Other than a man. Yeah.
No.
Like, what? Like the main female character, her whole plot point is that she's trying to find a guy. This guy who has this weird... like a magical disease where he can't control his powers and he just like has outbursts and stuff. That's her whole situation. And then she's pining over him and she has to go rescue him and fix him.
Good.
Yeah, she's like taking it upon herself to like fix an unfixable man, a violent unfixable man.
To be his free therapist.
Like, fuck, like we've never heard that before. And then the other female character is, her whole point is that she's in love with a muggle. She's in love with a non-magical man. Mm. So therefore she's corrupted by another man because he tells her that he can create a world where she can love him freely when that's not the case. She's being bamboozled.
Sure, but and he's then, using that to manipulate yeah. her.
And then there's
That's wrong on a few different levels.
This is a whole situation.
Yeah.
And then there's the Lita Lestrange character, which is Zoe Kravitz.
Mm.
A very famous woman of color. I mean, obviously, her dad is Lenny Kravitz, for Christ's sake. Then J.K. Rowling had the absolute unmitigated gall to put her in a movie where her whole narrative is this being in love with two brothers and being a bad girl and like having a sordid past and being a Lestrange and like doing all of, and being part of this legacy of evil within the magical world and like trying to tear herself away from this expectation that she's going to be bad and that she's going to be like withholding, like the upholding the pure blood way of life and all of this
boring,
stuff.
Isn't it?
And it's just like, oh,
nicest
great.
Way to put it.
You know, like boring? Her whole life is tied to like her shitty father who used the Imperius curse on women to have children.
Barf.
Whoa. Yeah, gross.
Yeah. So her father was a real fucking piece of work.
Piece of shit.
And I don't know. It's just, I feel like maybe J.K. Rowling is using this as an opportunity to make the magical world a bit more adult because we always existed within a child's
kids.
World
yeah.
in the Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
And these people are adults. They're like people who work in basically the government and people sure. who are anti-government.
Well, all the people who were into Harry Potter movies when they came out are now
my age, yeah,
in their 20s, 30s, and 40s,
yeah. mm-hmm.
right? And maybe want more adult stories.
But it's just so clear to me that J.K. Rowling is now a wealthy white woman from England, and she has no sense of perspective on the violence of colonialism, and she doesn't bring in race as a factor into her magical world because I didn't
see color, man.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah, it's just
see
like,
color.
Ugh. God, it's lazy storytelling because basically, like everyone,
see, that's the thing. What I said, it was boring.
Yeah,
this is just supremely
yeah.
uninteresting.
What she's done is she's helped create this generation of people who look at the world with empathy. I think that's kind of what she gave people
yes.
and possibility, and creating characters like Hermione who were born without becoming from a magical world, but she became the brightest student and like having, like she created those kinds
virtues,
of worlds.
Yes, mm-hmm. because of her abilities
yeah.
and her character traits, you know,
which,
her work
which
ethic.
Kind of,
yeah.
Which educated
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her view, her readership in a certain
sure.
sense. And now
yeah.
she's peddling this bullshit that we can
these
see through.
Tired tropes.
You know, like you'll see all of the things I'm saying. Like this isn't just like an indigenous thing or a POC thing
yeah.
or whatever. Like, it's like just a decent human being thing. Like
I will say, though, I mean, just as a student of literature and film, I can see, and again, I just love to play devil's advocate.
Yeah. It's easy to fall into
and
these.
I'm not apologizing for her whatsoever, but when she wrote those books, she was writing books for children. Mm-hmm. When she wrote this movie, she was writing a screenplay, which is maybe not her forte. She was writing a screenplay as a rich, white, British woman for an American audience. Set in 1920s for a style of film that is purely visual.
Mm-hmm.
That those movies are not...
It's not about the story.
This is not a
character-heavy
movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a movie that looks amazing.
This
it's
is
a movie that's going to be shown in 3D
yeah.
and it's going to blow your goddamn mind. And it's a Marvel movie that happens to be a Harry Potter theme.
Mm.
That's
the context.
That's the yeah. context. So I think you're absolutely right. There is a major missed opportunity to have done it correctly. But who knows what got cut by the studios?
Whoever had.
I mean, who knows?
And apparently there's three more movies. So she has a lot of time to and I think that's the thing that I'm not used to is that in the Harry Potter movies, you got so much information in one movie.
Yes.
Because it was adapting a book.
Yes.
A whole giant book.
It was adapting a book that she created on her own terms. Mm-hmm. She wasn't
beholden
to any studio.
Yeah.
There was mm-hmm. no one running the show. It was just her. And it turned into this wild
success.
Yeah.
So now there are some boundaries that she's been placed in. And again, I'm saying this not knowing all the facts, and we never will because it's Hollywood and you know all that shit. However, just as purely a film and books are, you can't.
Two different mediums.
You can't look at the same character development in a Hollywood blockbuster, purely visual, shot in 3D, blow your mind kind of way as you look at the most delightful, magical childhood stories that you've ever read that are still super close to your heart. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah.
Just devil's advocate. I mean, I agree.
I completely agree.
I am sure I will agree with everything that you said when I see it.
And I agree with you as well. Because like, I needed to suspend belief at a certain point because there were just shit that happened in the movie that it says in the books is not possible.
Oh, really?
Like apparating into Hogwarts. That happens in the movie. And
well, we're getting deep now.
Now we're getting into the canon.
Now we're,
And McGonagall was suddenly in her late 30s teaching at Hogwarts when she's not even supposed to be born for another 8 years.
When year was McGonagall supposed to be
1934.
Born? Where does it say that?
It says it on the Pottermore website.
I'm sorry, that's not canon. It's I refuse to take that as canon.
She wrote it. It's canon. She's like fucking around with her own shit now just to like move her plot forward.
Well, she's moving her plot forward. I mean, the time thing with Harry Potter has always been contentious.
A little loosey-goosey.
But again, this isn't a book that was ever going to be...
Yeah.
This was never going to be a book. This is based on a book that was a book in the book. It's not even a real book.
Yeah.
It's based on a textbook that is about mentioned. Animals.
Yeah.
You know? So I think at a certain point, you have to just be like, well... We're done with this canon
kind of like
shit.
But like
we're
you said,
this enjoy
was,
this
but this
movie.
Was a missed opportunity to potentially use this as a vehicle to promote these ideals and these values that she has purportedly been holding.
Her whole career.
Her whole career. Yeah. And, you know.
And who knows what gets fucked up in Hollywood.
But that's the thing, too. It's like there's so many obstacles and so many fucking mediocre white men in writing the
Johnny's ass. She's exactly.
God Johnny fucking Depp.
Well, it makes it really easy for you to hate the villain.
That's true.
That's real believable.
That's true.
Even though the way that they're creating this villain is kind of like, it's very devil's advocate. It's like he's very good at saying the right thing.
He's a really fascinating character in the book too.
Yeah,
I would love to read more about his story. Like
it's all on Pottermore.
I can't read a website. It. Give me a book. Sorry.
Oh my God.
We'll print it out.
Other news.
Yeah. Just go to the website, press control P.
That'll do.
There you go.
Next year, Warner Brothers is launching a streaming service, and one of their original shows is called Wizarding World, and it's about the Harry Potter universe.
Really?
So it's gonna be like
interesting.
It's going to be like a TV show about the universe. And it's going to be completely new characters.
Oh, cool. Okay, that's good.
Cool. So you can just get the universe.
So it's in the Harry Potter universe, but it's like...
Other people.
Other characters.
Very cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it'll give her an opportunity to clean up a bit of her fucking mess.
Yes.
And referencing magic that doesn't come from Europe as less refined and less powerful, which she has done.
Yes.
She said that when she was starting this new universe, she released all of this information about the Wizarding World in America on this website. And her reference to indigenous peoples was just homogenous.
In passing
and didn't reference colonial violence at all. Didn't reference anything like that. It's just like, oh yeah, there was always magic in North America. It was the indigenous peoples, but they were better at shapeshifting and they were better at making potions and they didn't have wands. Therefore, their charms and spells were not as direct and not as powerful because they weren't like concentrated like in a magical object. Which is such bullshit because, I mean, she could have done so many different
things. You could have invented whatever the fuck you wanted.
Yeah. But again, I mean,
she also could have,
I'm going to devil's advocate. She's not writing that story. That's not her story to write or tell. So how much do you want her to include on a footnote for a thing that has nothing to do with the thing she's actually doing?
Yeah.
She's not that expert. And maybe the next person to come up and write that story will be better and it will be more. She's also a British woman from... You know, wherever, like she's not
in her 60s or whatever, however old she is.
And she's writing this for an American audience again. So this isn't a thing that she's not going to spend all that time on
I think maybe you're right. I hold my heroes up to a very high standard.
Sure. And here's and maybe with this new TV show, they can do what a lot of shows are doing now and hiring more interesting, more diverse, better people to create these things.
The indigenous liaison for this world.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Cut me a check.
Yeah. Twilight did a great job. Oh. Just copy paste.
We're not even going to talk about Twilight.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, you're right.
The vilifying of indigenous people in the Twilight series is on some other level.
And also making them violent and primitive and anyway.
And not in control of their magic because of the, let's not.
Anyway, all I'm saying is she wasn't writing that story. She's writing the canon that she created. And it's for better or worse, it doesn't include that other style of magic that exists in North America. This straight up does not exist in the place that she developed it. So I get it. You have there's room for growth, absolutely, in that.
Maybe
retelling.
It's just like what I would do if I was creating the world that I would inhabit within that world.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that would be an incredible story. That would be an amazing
maybe I should write the fucking
mixture
book.
Of those two worlds.
Get some fanfiction going.
Or
do it. I'm
just
sure there's some that exists
universe.
Already.
Just start tweeting at her and just get into her.
Get on Reddit. There's
no, she'll
gotta
block
be.
Me. She blocked all of the critics, all the native critics. She blocked everyone. Like
she probably blocks 10 people probably, a day.
Yeah, I'm sure she doesn't even run her own Twitter at this point. But that's what I've been thinking about.
That's
better
a good
representations
one.
Of POC witches in media. And not have them be villains or victims or
it's becoming
a
very,
mixture of the both.
Mm-hmm. Very prevalent.
Yeah, and
culture these days is the witchy stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are very interested in it, and there's a lot of ways to do it and talk about it.
Because
inspiration
different
from.
People have known magic in different ways.
Sure, for as long as humanity exists, every story
there's magic from all over the world. What and some people don't even call it magic; they call it religion, or they call it. Spirituality or life
go
or
to the
medicine
this little place called Africa. Have you heard of this little place?
Yeah,
this little continent called Africa. You want to talk
About magic?
I mean, there's probably
fucking shit in Asia for 10,000 years too.
Louisiana voodoo is magic born out of colonialism and violence. Are you kidding me?
The Caribbean
the,
stuff
the stories the stories write itself.
Come on.
History is enough of a wealth of knowledge to learn from and pull from in writing a story.
Oh, wow.
Writing a story where race doesn't come into it is just irresponsible in this day and age.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving on.
Stupid and irresponsible.
I'm
going
to move my
combo.
Soapbox over to one of y'all.
There you go.
Like,
I can segue from this, talking about creating content with a different type of creative power behind it. My obsession this week is the new She-Ra animated TV show. It's on Canada Today. Essentially, all only women wrote it and created it.
Wonderful.
Amazing.
Like, the writing room was all women.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah, a lot of the directors are women. It's about a bunch of princesses, a bunch of women. There's, like, two dudes, three dudes in the whole fucking show.
Is He-Man on it?
No, but we're waiting for season two.
So do you think he'll come back?
Maybe. They're kind of creating their own
universe
thing. Yeah. Mm. Because it was always, as someone who was an original She-Ra fan from 1985, I was She-Ra three Halloweens in a row. I was fully in the She-Ra universe. And my brother was, he was also into He-Man, but I don't think he was into He-Man as much as I was into She-Ra.
How could you be? I am sorry. He-Man does not hold a fucking candle to She-Ra.
No, ma'am.
She's fucking radical.
Maybe amazing. In like, and I wouldn't know, but maybe in the gay community. But
he's
for
got a
girls,
whole other,
And no chance. She-Ra's got the fucking, the flying horse, Pegasus. She's got the wings and the fucking headdress,
The
skirt and the
boots.
Swords. I'm sorry. He-Man can
S&D. The unattainable body type. but no, this totally, it's the new She-Ra, it's totally reimagined. I was watching, I think for my 4-year-old, it's a little bit too sophisticated for her.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But my 8-year-old niece, for sure.
Loves it.
Totally be on board. I don't know if she's watching it, but I'm gonna have to tell her. Hey, Ruby, check it out. But anyway, it was great. It's like 12 episodes, half an hour episodes, not even. It's so cool. It's done in kind of like a, anime sort of style. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first saw the drawings of She-Ra when they were just giving like what she, the character, would look like. And I was telling Katie today, she's fucking buff. She's got broad shoulders, muscly arms. She's 8 feet tall. She wears shorts and boots that are flat that she can actually like run and bite people in.
Not high heels.
And she's like swinging your boobs around.
Yeah.
She's running like awkwardly, kind of barely like
barely wielding
hold
the sword.
Her sword yeah. around her giant jugs. She's amazing. She's so cool in this new one. Like, and all the other women are like, oh, you are pear-shaped. You got fucking awesome, big, powerful legs. You're 8 feet tall. You're also half scorpion.
You know what? We don't discriminate.
I'm on board.
Half scorpion, full scorpions. Our listeners, we love each and every one of you. Doesn't matter how much of a scorpion you are.
And as someone who
or any other animal for that matter.
And as someone who was immediately put off by any sort of romantic plot line, I could not be less interested in any romantic.
She doesn't have a romantic.
No, it's all about being friends and being proud and your self-worth.
Sisterhood, kinship.
Yes, but also your self-worth and what you can do and imposter syndrome and helping each other see past that and accomplishing goals and believing in yourself. And
that's rad.
And it looks awesome. The visuals are so cool.
I wonder if Lucy, my niece, is actually get Lucy on.
It's awesome. It's like, there's like best friends who hate each other and people who hate each other and then become best friends. And like I said, there's like three guys and they're like, well, one of them's the like head of the Horde, Hordak, which is like the big supreme leader. He's the bad guy. He's got the skeleton face.
Yeah.
And the cool skeleton like collar thing that he had.
Like Skeletor?
But like better?
Okay. Actually, but it's not called Skeletor.
No, Skeletor is He-Man.
Oh, yeah, sorry, right.
This is Hordak. And Skeletor came from Hordak.
Got it.
Interesting. Hordak was the original supervillain. Anyway, getting very deep into the He-Man world. But also, I also like how there's no, because She-Ra was an offshoot of He-Man back in the day.
Right.
He-Man came first.
Right.
As a thing to push merchandise, right? At Toys R Us and commercials for Saturday morning. And then they made a girl version, which was pink and rainbows and unicorns. But they've kept the pink and the rainbows and the unicorns, but also made her fucking kick-ass.
Badass.
And awesome. And smart. And cool. And
who does her voice?
Who does her voice? I forget who does
famous?
Her voice. Somebody, someone, some young girl who was on like Disney TV or something. And like, so what's her name? AJ Michalka?
Oh, really?
She does Catra, who's like her BFF turned enemy.
Ali and AJ. TBT.
Yes. And then who else? Like, oh shit, what's her name?
I don't know.
Who does like
listener at home?
The like female, the female villain.
They were these.
Right. Lorraine Toussaint. She's like a famous like African American actress.
Okay.
And as soon as I heard her voice, I'm like, oh my God, it's her. She's amazing.
Ali and AJ are like those pop stars from the early 2000s on Disney Channel that
probably
would play
your
like,
age,
oh yeah,
right?
Definitely. That played like between during commercial breaks, their music video would play. It's like while you're waiting for the next show to start. Like anyone who's 24 to 27 will know what I'm talking about.
So these little like YJs they're like YTV YJs,
kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like pop stars.
It would be like sometimes when like on Much Music or MTV, they'd play a music video during the commercial break.
I see.
Between like programs.
That was them.
She was that.
Yeah. For Disney. Like,
yeah. But it was...
Amy Carrero plays She-Ra.
Oh.
She's in a bunch of stuff.
Mm.
Anyway, she's awesome. One of the kids from Black-ish.
Oh, really?
The oldest son. And he's awesome. He plays like the sidekick.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. But he's a dude. He was awesome. And like, even like looking at the people, there's South Asian women. There's Black women. There's a Japanese woman. You know, purple with person with the British accent, somebody with an American accent. Like, it's just, it's Lauren Ash, who's amazing. She's an actress, comedic actress, who I really enjoy. She plays the Scorpion Lady. Scorpia. Because they're real, like, creative with the names. anyway,
Skeletor,
it's great.
Scorpia.
Catra, she's part cat. Scorpia, she's part Scorpio. Or Scorpion. Anyway. Mermista.
Merman?
Give you one guess where she's from. Perfuma.
Perfuma.
Yeah, she's like flowers.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been there, I think.
Yeah.
You've summered
Frost
there.
Frost out there, yeah. Anyway, it's
building
great.
A home there.
Sandra Oh shows up.
What?
No way. Yes. I was very excited. I was trying to stay away from the IMDb because I like to figure out the voices for myself. But I was just like, is that Sandra Oh? What's happening? Anyway,
she's
it's
a great voice.
She-Ra.
I love it. She-Ra. It's fantastic. And I'm hoping, I'm hoping there's going to be super awesome merch that I will buy for, quote, the children. Mm-hmm. I want a She-Ra t-shirt so badly now. I'm very
classic,
much on board.
Classic drawing?
No, this one. This one. I'm fully converted to this one because it looks cooler. It sounds cooler.
Better, more inclusive.
Better, it's more inclusive. It's for, you know, 21st century girls.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about it.
Which you have two.
I have two 21st century girls.
So it's an important part of who
That's
you are.
That's the name of your bio. 21st century girl.
Well, my session is real quick and easy and dirty. 2 weeks ago, I think, Everlane, my favorite online retailer.
Still haven't gotten my jeans.
What?
I know.
Call out Dragha.
They did a $50 denim day, which I think we talked about. And so I got a pair of I'm wearing them right now. I got a pair of the mid-rise skinny in black ankle length, which is the first time I've never had to hem a pair of jeans before, which is a miracle. But they're $50. And so me and my friend Olivia each got a pair and we shipped it to my sister-in-law's place in Los Angeles. And she just came up. So she brought them up. You're just probably backlogged in the fucking...
There was a backlog because there was a huge
Canada
order
Post
that
strike.
Day, right? Because it was they probably sold out all of their jeans for $50 and it was advertised all over the place. But it's UPS still. Like it's not... Or DHL. Like it's not even like Canada Post.
Oh, weird.
And it just arrived in Toronto like on Friday.
Oh, Toronto is...
It arrived in Richmond Hill on Friday. I've been tracking it, so we'll see.
Anyway.
Give me my fucking jeans.
I love them. They fit me better than any pair of jeans I've ever owned. I ordered the high rise before because I wanted a nice high waisted pant.
I got the high rise. I got the same one as you, but high rise.
Yeah. So the high rise on me is like an inch too high. Like
sure.
That part of my body is
just
short.
Doesn't match up. Yeah.
So I was like, I'll try the mid rise and hopefully they work as a high rise and they fit like a perfect. They're comfy and they're stretchy. I can bike in them.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one in every pair. I mean, one in every color.
They're like four or five colors. I got two blue or three blues and
a gray and a black. Yeah. But they're the best and they're super transparent about their manufacturing.
Even the full price ones are $68 American.
Yeah. So Olivia
suck
and I,
on that $270 jeans.
I know.
Still made in who knows where.
I know. The only bummer is getting it shipped from the States, which is why.
Yeah, it sucks.
Anytime there's like a hint of someone going to my sister-in-law's place in LA, I'm like, well, let me get my Everlane order.
Just see what they have available.
Let me get a quick order.
Yeah.
Gotta bring it back.
What did I not get last time that I should get this time?
Yeah.
What did I take out of my shopping cart because it was too expensive last time?
Yeah. So that's it. Everlane jeans are the best. I love them. They're even when they're not on sale, they're a super good price. And I love Everlane. That's it. Full story.
Yes.
I think are we done here?
I think we might be done.
We can wrap it up. Yeah.
What time is it? It's time to be done.
Dinner time, baby.
You guys.
First of all, remember that the only way that we're going to survive all of this is if we take Jasmine Masters as our personal Lord and Savior. Jasmine Masters is a constant obsession and pulls me out of the depths of shame
darkness
and depression and imposter syndrome all the damn time.
There you go.
Aaron Gibson does that for me a lot on Throwing Shade.
Oh my God. And
yeah.
And if you need to have a good love yourself and cry moment, just type Maya Angelou / Oprah into YouTube and
go nuts
and love yourself
and get a box of tissues.
Love yourself.
Yeah,
there you go.
You guys.
Yes,
here we are. It's the end of our time together.
Yes,
again.
Just for now.
Just we're for still, this time.
We're still here. We're still available.
We
get at us.
We are on the internet. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
You can do a www.fashionhagspodcast.com and just clickety clack into your old URL and then go hit the send button and that's where we are.
Yeah.
I think that's
we're on the other
that's
end.
That's kind of how it works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fashionhagspodcast@gmail.com, right?
It's fashionhags.
Fashionhags@gmail.com. Fashionhagspodcast on Instagram.
On Insta.
Yep. Katie posts some cool shit on the Instagram sometimes. Every Friday.
Lots of funny videos.
Friday, I'm always on something on Friday. I just put one up that this was going to be my obsession today. It was
the aerobics video.
No, that's hella good too. The pants.
Oh my god!
If you're
not
following
yes.
pants on Instagram, get yourselves on it right now. It is so fucking good. The guy who does it is clearly a trained artist or illustrator, and he just does these real goofy, really weird, hilarious, simple line drawings of weird mice
scenarios and shit. Yeah,
weird dudes with tiny faces and big heads and hilarious captions. The one that I just posted today is about podcasting. It's very podcast relevant, so I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to go to our Instagram and hit follow. It's the only way you'll be able to see it. I think that's how Instagram works, right? You have to hit follow before I can tell you all the secrets.
Yeah, totally. Where you let it all out.
And yeah, so thanks, guys. You know, all the things. We need you guys to know. Again, gather in, lean in. Are you there? Are you listening?
Lean in real close. Lean in.
Yes, get in there. You guys, we love you.
But we love fashion more.
More.
ASMR. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Fashion. Hey.